you know, Friday we didn't get back to our place until midnight. So Saturday, which was 2 o'clock Central Time, so we got back to our Airbnb midnight Friday time. Stumbled in the dark, couldn't find it at first, couldn't find the key. Eventually, there's like an alleyway that runs down in between houses, kind of like in Lakeview. There were no lights anywhere, so eventually we found it, whatever, stumbled into bed. The next day, we woke up. We were staying in Ocean Beach, which is a nice little area, San Diego. Got a little breakfast. There's this one street with a bunch of shops. And drove to the Gaslamp District, which is it's in downtown, recently renovated. They've really put a lot of money into it, and a lot of shops, a lot of restaurants. So, you know, we get there, we kind of snack on some food, and a lot of the games have already started. That was the weird thing getting used to, is that it's 11 o'clock and like all the early afternoon games are almost over. So we ate there. It turned out it was the place that we ate at. There's like a big Alabama contingent coming for that game. So we're like, all right, screw this. So we left and we went to go to Coronado, which is where they have this Hotel de Coronado, which was the inspiration for the Hotel California song from the Eagles. So we went down to that beach, huge, huge ass hotel, real beautiful. We got out, walked on the beach for a while. The sand was actually gold. Renee took a picture of it. It looked like there was gold in the sand.
Black and gold sand?
So we did that, and then we're like, all right, well, let's go. The LSU game is going to come on. Now, again, this is, you know, LSU game was coming on at 4:30. So we got back to Gaslamp. And, all right, well, we don't want to go to the Alabama bar. And Renee thought, well, hey, is there a LSU bar in San Diego? So just Googled LSU bar in San Diego. And sure enough, there was this place that's known for, you know, LSU fans coming and they watch all the games. So we drove out there. It's in somewhere called Midtown. I mean, I don't know exactly where it was, but we pull up. The building is painted purple and yellow. And it was just packed. LSU fans, Saints fans, people in from the games, absolutely packed. And I ended up running into some guys that I knew from back home. So that was nice. We pulled up. They had a table out on the porch. And we just sat there and watched the game. Enjoyed ourselves. So that was really neat. The fact that we were, you know, on top of the fact that LSU dominated. But so here's the story. So there was this Oriental lady walking around with these 18-inch purple boots on. Having fun.
Was she driving a Cadillac?
A striped Cadillac. She was walking around just engaging with all the people. At some point she brought out this paddle and just started fucking spanking people.
What?
Yeah. What? I mean, everybody was enjoying themselves. LSU, yeah, in, you know, 40-7, whatever it was. And a good buddy of mine, you know, like, I went to the bathroom, I came back, I walk outside, and this is this big guy, he just bends over and she just spanks him right in the ass.
What?
All right, we're moving along and we're relaxed.
I don't know if we got any pictures of her or not. I don't know if we did. But that she was kind of the life of the party. I mean, she was having a blast. She might be the owner or the co-owner. So if you're in San Diego and you want to watch an LSU game, Christie's MVP Sports Bar is the name of the place.
That's how they jack it in San Diego.
Oh, it was definitely, she definitely jacked it in San Diego.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
What's up, Whodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a zero. I'm actually drinking coffee. Try and stay awake after that celebration last night. If there ever was an example of why you should not give up hope. I know I personally was feeling pretty low late into the fourth quarter, maybe the lowest I felt in the Sean Payton era. But then in that last 5 minutes, the ball magically started bouncing in the way of fortune for this team. Some say it was sheer luck, but I'd say at least you gotta capitalize on those opportunities, and the offense did just that. unlike what happened in the Giants game where they didn't capitalize on the opportunities, you see. Now, Jason, we know, watched the game in San Diego, so I'm sure he's going to tell us all about that as well. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show from San Diego. What's your number?
I'm actually in Anaheim right now. San Diego part of the trip is over, but I'll go with a one. I got a little drink here, and we had dinner at Trader Sam's and the Disneyland Resort. So I had a nice little bourbon drink over there. It's pretty tasty, actually. Called the Shipwrecked. It was bourbon and agave and some mint in there. Very tasty. So I'm sitting here up in my hotel room. I'm looking out the window, and I got a nice view of California Adventure theme park. Everything's all lit up. Mountains in the background. This may be the most picturesque setting I've ever podcasted from.
Oh, well, good for you.
And on top of that, it's only 6:45.
Yeah, that's right. You're gonna finish early. Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. Zero.
All right. Game recap.
So some friends of mine here, they got tickets for us. You know, this is one of the normal stadiums with just a parking lot all around it. The stadium is really in a cool spot. You drive in, it's kind of like in this valley with like mountains kind of around it, almost like in a bowl. The stadium is just there, very picturesque. I think I had sent y'all a picture maybe.
Ask.
Really,
you
really.
You only sent us a picture of like the view of the stadium from your parking spot.
Okay, sorry. There's like, you know, a couple of interstates that kind of intersect it, but it's a really cool spot. So we got there. The game was at 1:25. I think we got there around 10:30, maybe. So we had a good 2.5 hours of tailgating.
Sound like there was a lot of Saints fans there.
There were definitely a lot of Saints fans there. You know, we tailgated. Everywhere you looked around, you could see at least a Saints fan somewhere. So, you know, hung out there. I mean, it was a beautiful day. A walk, you know, tailgated for a few hours, walked in. It seemed like it took longer to get inside this. Like once we walked to the stadium, it seemed like the line, it took a little longer to get in than normally, when we go to the dome. I mean, very similar policies. You got to have the clear purse, like Renee had ever clear purse, and they do the wanding and stuff. But we walk in the main entrance, and, the seats that we got, I mean, we were on row 4 behind the Saints bench on like the 40-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get to that section, when you walk in the main entrance, there's actually a stairway tunnel you have to take to go down probably like almost like two flights of stairs or three flights of stairs to go down. And then there's like this tunnel, I guess, that wraps
around.
So you
enter the stadium kind of like at mid-level of the stadium, and you go down to your seat versus up.
Well, we go down to that main, I guess, the lower concourse where, like, you know, concessions are, beer and whatnot. And then when you go to your seats, you got to go up the stairs. But then when you come up, I guess you're on row like 25 or 30, and we had to walk back down to our seats. You know, we kind of walked down.
Well, quick, I'll interrupt you for a minute. Like, the reason I asked that too, because like Soldier Field, when you go in, you walk in level, and then that you'd be walking into Damon where you sit is level with the earth. And
right.
So you either go down to your seat if you're in the loge,
mm-hmm.
or you go up if you're in the terrace kind of thing. It's pretty neat.
Interesting.
Stadium must be built into a mountain or something.
The first thing, as I'm walking down the steps to our seats, I'm looking around and I'm like, there's a Saints fan. Like, holy
in
shit.
In Chicago.
I'm surrounded by Saints fans. So I was in a section just full of Saints fans.
Yeah,
so
your video, that's what I'm saying. Like that low to and that right there just was pretty interesting to see how many Saints fans there were in the video of y'all celebrating after.
One of the articles on the Advocate, that one of the guys were talking about how many Saints. They said 10,000 to 12,000 Saints fans were probably.
Oh yeah, I believe it.
Estimated.
Yeah, I believe it, and they were all sitting by us.
Right.
I mean, we're you remember the Raiders game? The Raiders had that like corner that was all Raiders fans. Like where we were sitting on the sideline, it was all Saints fans.
It's almost like college. I wonder if I don't know. Is the NFL doing that? It's almost like, is it happening now that
it's weird.
Trying to put visiting team in sections?
Well, no. I mean, every team, even like the Saints, okay, we're sold out on season tickets. But there's so many you have to hold back for the visiting team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they put, you know. Now, the Saints give them away in the end zone, which are less desirable seats, you know.
Right.
So it's surprising that Jason and the Saints contingency were there on the 40-yard line. Those seem like pretty good seats.
Behind the Saints.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I did appreciate, like, the lady who got our
tickets. That's also why San Diego's heading to Vegas next year.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
The lady who got our tickets, I mean, she's a Chargers fan, but she got the tickets in the Saints section, so I definitely appreciated the fact that we were in the Saints section. I didn't necessarily like being so low because you couldn't always tell what the hell was going on.
You don't have a good depth perception.
Yeah.
No.
I don't like those low seats.
I mean, there were certain times, especially when they get around the goal line, I'd have to look up in the screen to try to see what's going on. Now, they still have a Minitron. No, their stadium, like, you can tell their stadium's been around a while. They had the Minitron. Old school graphics, nothing, no HD, like no nothing. Like it's definitely out of the 80s for sure. Or the 70s, you know, whenever it was built. I'm sure it was built in the 70s or 60s or whatever. But it's definitely, you can tell they need some upgrades. And I know they're pushing for a new stadium. But dude, it was not, you know, the first drive down the field, score a touchdown. We're like, all right, let's do this.
Well, we've seen that before.
Yeah, we have.
Haven't turned out well. But special teams made no major mistakes.
And that's a big statement coming from you, Damon. Good.
Yeah.
You know. You know, your voodoo doll for Greg McMahon.
I mean, if they don't make a mistake, they don't make a mistake. I mean,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness.
Well, especially when, before the game, the word was coming out, oh, players are being put on notice. Oh, Bird's not starting, and Laurinaitis is inactive. And so like this, and I'm like, well, can coaches be put on notice, too?
Yeah. Right?
You know?
Right.
San Diego. Which, of course, in German means a whale's vagina.
They're kind of like the Saints of the AFC. I mean, they've blown multiple leads already this year. We were joking. And, you know, it was like, look, it's going to be, the game's going to be in the 30s. Whichever team, one of the teams is going to blow it in the end. It could go either way. And at least, you know, like, we scored that first touchdown. And
we,
like,
blew,
you know,
it in the second quarter.
You know, like, I'm celebrating, and I look, it's like, look, don't worry, we haven't been on defense yet. You know, just relax.
Don't worry, yours is coming.
Yeah, right. Like, 7 points ain't even coming close to winning this
right.
game.
And didn't they march down, like, right after?
I'm pretty sure. They moved the ball pretty easily, and I know there was maybe that first touchdown, one of the tight end was just a complete blown coverage.
Or they didn't.
The guy was wide open in the end zone.
Okay, no, actually they didn't. It was a three and out. That's right. It was impressive that we actually held them to a three and out. And then we did a little thing, and then they scored on the next possession.
Okay.
A couple of highlights there. Lasko.
He actually got carries.
It felt like he did more, I guess. So I guess it was that 6-yard run that made me notice him. But
well, it's just the fact that he actually got carries on offense. No, but you know who had a great day?
Coon and Friends alert.
Coon and Friends.
Oh, that's right.
He had a career day.
Yeah. That was great because, of course, you know, he gets his plays, and I'm just screaming out, Coon and Friends.
Did anybody pick up on that?
Coon and Friends alert. Coon and Friends alert.
Right, three total. Who didn't have a good day? Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Was not what we've come to expect.
He wasn't particularly sharp. I mean, one of his picks was tipped up in the air. I mean,
No. The pick, you're right. Both picks he's had this season, they've been pop-ups. So you can't really, I'm not going to fault him for that. But, you know, he was 23 of 36 for 207 yards. I mean, that's
lower than what we held, what's his face to, Matt Ryan last week.
I believe this is the lowest amount of offense the Saints have had while winning a game in the Peyton Breeze era.
I believe it. But do you think there was, I mean, what was up with Breeze? Because there was that span of time, whether it was third or fourth quarter, when he was throwing the pick, you know, that pick that was off and they threw a high ball, he was way off. And then we ran the ball. It was in the fourth, because then we ran the ball three times in a row from like the 7-yard line when we've gotten it back. And it's kind of like, why are we running, run? That's not a short. Is Les Miles got a job? Or is Breeze hurt? Because, of you know, you almost feel like something must have been up.
Well, a lot of people were suggesting that over the last – I guess the last day, I think he's hurt. Now, he seemed to be okay after the game.
Well, he was fine with that touchdown pass to Michael.
And he was fine in the fourth quarter. He didn't look hurt to me. But you're right, the ball seemed, even in the fourth quarter, the ball seemed to be behind receivers. And, he didn't try too hard. He wasn't as sharp. I mean, it happened. I don't know. I'm not going to say if it's age or nothing. But, I mean, look, it's one game. He just wasn't as sharp as he normally was. And God knows when Breeze isn't sharp, does not spell anything good for this team.
Right. The Saints definitely committed to the run this game.
Definitely. Mark Ingram, 57 yards. Last goal, 12,
Yeah.
Hightower's 11. I still like Hightower.
I do, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we go into the halftime with a deficit of 24, only down 10 points. I mean, that,
I didn't feel like the game was out of reach. Honestly, like I said, the lowest point I felt, it was in the fourth quarter when we were down. I mean, the clock was pretty much, down to like 5 or 6 minutes left in the game. We're down by 14 points or whatever, 13 points. And I was in there. There's no fucking way we're going to win this game unless we magically get like turnover, touchdown, and then what happens? Turnover, touchdown. Holy shit. Those are the things you just dream about.
I mean, yeah, I agree. I mean, we were all texting. None of us were particularly happy when San Diego scored 10 unanswered points, in the fourth quarter after we'd gotten it to within 3 in the third.
Yep.
So, so let's talk about the final, I think it was the final 8 minutes. Those were the best.
It was absolutely amazing because when we punted back with like just under 7 minutes to go, I'm kind of like, well, shit, that's probably it. I mean, other than the fact that San Diego has blown leads all season, it just seemed like that was the possession. Like we had to, like, I thought maybe we'd even go for it. And we decided to, we decided to punt it back to him. Right. But I really kind of thought, well, that's probably going to be it.
And both fumbles, I don't know if you could tell there on the Minitron, Jason, but I think Jeff and I definitely could on TV. Both fumbles were unquestionable fumbles. Yeah. I mean, the balls were out way before the player was even,
close to being
anywhere close to the ground. So
the one thing I kind of on the second fumble, it was the receiver Benjamin, kind of looking at it. It looked like he was going and he just dropped it. Like the ball just came out. Yeah. I don't know that anybody
hit him or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Like he just dropped it. I was like, holy crap! Like what is going on?
Fortune, favors losers, I guess, because and that is the one thing. And again, I read an article about it. I think, as fans, you said it. We admit it. We all gave up after that last San Diego field goal. Under 8 minutes left, it's like, man, yeah, I guess we could have scored, but I mean, none of us have much faith in the defense. come on, be honest.
It was that field goal, right? And then before that, their possession was a touchdown. And before that, their possession was – it was a 6.5-minute drive that they ended up
– Punting.
But, there was no reason to think that our defense was going to put the ball back in the offense's hands enough times in 8 minutes to make up a 13 points that – unanswered, right? 13 unanswered points.
Yeah. No, and look, the two of the Chargers fans that were at the game with us, they left.
Thinking they had won?
I mean, it was hot, but and also to beat the traffic.
It was hot. I heard him say, really.
Well, I mean, we were directly in the sunlight, like there was on the visiting side. I mean, it was comfortable. all day, but when you're sitting there and there isn't a lot of breeze that down low.
Oh, there's plenty of breeze at the end of the game.
Boom!
So Renee wore a fleur-de-lis necklace, and we didn't put on sunscreen. She's got a got like a fleur-de-lis necklace outline with the sunburn on her.
That's awesome.
On right under her neck, yeah.
That's cool.
So what?
What?
I said I'm branded.
That's why they went to the bar with the lady and the whip, you know.
Right?
They go out of town to do all their kinky stuff.
That's right, and thanks for stopping by.
Right, so anyway, the last 8 minutes were just, it's not like the Miami game in 2009. It wasn't that magnificent, or the Washington game that year, but it was definitely an old-school Saints comeback, helped by San Diego so much with the two fumbles, and I kept watching it, and I kept thinking, you know what? All they're doing is giving me hope, and then they're going to kick me in the balls. You know, they're giving me hope that we're going to win, and they're going to kick me in the balls.
Well, after that first, all right. So yeah, after that first
same touchdown.
No, after the first turnover, the fumble recovery, right. And we get the ball. That's when we ran with Hightower. And I'm sitting here thinking they're going to fucking blow this opportunity. They're blowing it. Because the field goal wasn't going to work, right? And so they get the ball. And then San Diego is the one who calls the timeout and gives us
right
a little time. And I'm like, what? They're trying to give it. San Diego must have had some money on this spread. And then they go to Michael Thomas. And I'm sitting here thinking, what a perfect person to be that guy, the hands guy, right? That's the guy that Breeze is going to trust the most, who's not going to drop that ball.
Yeah, and hopefully not tip it up to get intercepted, you know, because that happened earlier in the game.
Mm. But no, yeah, he caught it with a little 5-yard pass, you know.
Mr. Reliable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was great. So at that point, the stadium, like, all right, holy shit, all right, we still got a chance. Like, the Chargers love to blow games.
Yeah. You
know? That's the thing I always had, always right. thinking, like, the Chargers, this is what they do.
Well, then, right, and then first play of the next drive.
The fumble.
That's the beautiful part of it.
That would be so wonderful. I mean, look, we deserved after the first three fucking games. Get some good luck to go our way. You know?
Well, it's like all the luck from the bad luck that we've had to endure for this season so far could just, like, all that flip in one
right.
second.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely incredible, the roar from my section when we got that second fumble.
Right. How were the San Diego fans? Were they ugly? Were they friendly?
They weren't ugly at all. I mean, we had a good time, like, tailgating. We didn't have any issues with anybody.
No one even anything
even,
good.
Even after
well, the they game. Were they were coming in with the same record as us too, right? I mean, well, not the same record, but they were losers.
Well, and even after the game too, it's like, look, I know how I am when the Saints lose. I just walk out. I'm just kind of like sad. Like, I'm not mad. I'm just like, ugh, you know, like, but you know, there was no, I didn't see any issues anywhere. I mean, they were okay during the game, but when we were down 13 towards the end and it was looking like they were going to win. I mean, you know, they were happy. I mean, maybe gloating a little bit, but you know, it wasn't really bad at all.
I mean, when you're looking at all the chants that the Saints, it sounds like the Saints fans might have been the gloaters with the hoot at chant.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were. Hey, look, when you're on the road, it's a totally different atmosphere than being at a game in the dome.
Sure.
You know, it really is why I love road games, especially when you can somehow find them.
Now, keep in mind, I will say that even though we had all that luck and we capitalized on the luck and we did what we needed to do to win in the last, you know, really 6 minutes, not eight, we were outplayed in this game.
I mean, sure, the turnovers were the equalizer. I mean, that's it.
Mm-hmm. And like Sean Payton said, not just turnovers, but turnovers on their side of the field. You know, when that happens, right. he said, you know, I know it's cliche, but this was one of those games where the field position made. I mean, and that's another reason why your offense didn't have as many yards. I mean, you think about it there. That's two drives of like 18 yards or 20 yards each.
Well, and again, the fact that they converted on these turnovers.
Yeah.
Like the Giants game.
Right. They capitalized on them. Right.
Right. Shit, you realize the Raider? I mean, okay, here we go. 10-6 is possible.
No, come on now.
Hey,
We lose to the Raiders by 1 point. That game could have gone either way.
Right.
The Giants, if we would have capitalized on turnovers, or if we didn't have the shitty special teams, We're 3-1 right now.
Yeah, but we're not. We're 1-3.
The difference between 3-1 and 3 is a hairline. So if we can just stay apparently on the side of the hairline.
Yeah, but like you said, we got outplayed by a shitty San Diego team. And this game might cost their coach his job. You know, it really could.
It should, right?
You know?
I mean, how do they blow this?
You know, hopefully.
And then, too, look, when, you know, after the Saints scored to take the lead, I mean, look, there were still 2 minutes left. So, I mean, all they needed was a field goal. So even even after we score, there's still the thought of, well, all they need to do is march down and kick a field goal and they'll win and that's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was right. And to have that, their final drive, you know, the final time they got the ball was just disastrous. We did get one sack. We got one sack. Then they did a.
Then he botched the snap.
Well,
what
it was, he was trying to change the play and the center snapped it. I mean, they botched the snap, yeah, but I wouldn't blame it on Rivers. But anyway, right. So now they're 4th and 23, or, you know, I mean, just ridiculous. And it's like. Yeah. But, was it called back? I can't remember now. But on that drive, they like, when it was 3rd and 17 or something. That receiver was wide open past the fucking for a down marker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's something that somebody...
Did he just drop it, or did they get a penalty? What was that? Y'all remember? You don't remember what I'm talking about?
I couldn't see or tell at that point.
But do you feel like that Dennis Allen made good halftime adjustments or something? Because it did look like the defense tightened up and played a little bit better.
Well, he blitzed a lot more in the second half.
Yeah, he let them loose, right?
Yeah.
Well, because we couldn't get a pass rush in the regular way.
Right. Right. Yeah, we are not
good on him for making the adjustment.
Right. We are not talented enough to get a pass rush rushing just 4.
Right.
Well, they also said Johnson's fault.
Apparently, Tony Hills gave this impassioned halftime speech, and they're crediting that to them playing better in the second half.
Okay. Yeah, I read. I didn't hear his speech, but they.
But right, and that's, and, you know, like that. And then, of course, you know, the 4th down, like, that play was right on my sideline where we were, and just the noise when the pick happened.
Yeah, so nice.
You know, I'm just jumping up and down. I can finally take off my jersey and sport my W shirt. I mean, I've been waiting all season to
finally wear that. That had to feel good to be wearing that shirt in San Diego.
Again, to wear the W shirt on the road is awesome.
I'm gonna jack it where the sun always shines.
He's gonna jack it.
Been spreading the word and now I need to ease my mind.
Jacking it home.
Been planting them apple seeds and while the apples grow, I'm gonna go out jacking it in San Diego. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, spanking it, smack.
We're hanging out, like, the players come up along the side, and, I mean, we stayed there for a while. All the San Diego fans cheered out. We stayed there, the players come in. Well, when we walk out, you know, we had to go down back into that tunnel, and then we had to walk back up that stairway tunnel to the main entrance, and it's just the Who Dat chant. I mean, it was really awesome. My friend, you know, Chris, he was with, like, he couldn't believe what he was hearing. He's not a sports fan. He said he was scared.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
So yeah, it was just an incredible, just everybody Who Dat in the tunnel. It was just awesome.
So Bird was benched going into the game.
He still played.
He still right. He just didn't start.
He didn't start. No, we put Von Bell back.
Right, and Von Bell is the helmet who knocked the ball out too. Sounds like somebody got himself a starting job. And with that, we are going to move into Look at Him Tweets. And the Twitter was active. obviously, most of them just kind of fun reactions to the game. Some shitty reactions to the game before the fun happened. But one of them that came in during the game yesterday was from Life of Ty, and it was, and CJ Spiller just scored a touchdown for the Seahawks. Is this an internal problem at this point?
look, again, it's amazing to me. These fucking assistant coaches, they don't get put on notice. I mean,
it really, because I was going to bring that up too. I had read where it really has to be the assistant coaches, right? I mean, we really have to be using people the wrong way.
It
correct?
Is. Look, people are great. They come here. They suck.
Bird, okay, he got benched, and we all believe he should get benched. And this is from February 27th, 2014, on NFL.com. Top 101 NFL free agents for 2014. Okay? And they rank them in tiers. They have tier one. There's only one name on tier one Bird. For that year, and it's Jarris Bird. And it says, his, you know, the little thing by it says, a natural playmaker with plus ball skills. Bird is Earl Thomas's chief rival as the game's top cover safety.
Huh.
Guys this good usually don't make it to free agency. No, obviously that to what we have, you know, are two different things. I mean, so again, is he really that bad, or is it what the fuck we're doing with him?
Well, and look, all right, and so couple that with the fact that the run of bad luck, and not even talking about injuries. I'm talking about your Patrick Robinsons, your Corey White, your
those were bad luck. Those were bad.
Browner, look how many bad ones come parading through. We get one every couple of years. That's
every year.
No, that's good.
Well, look, all you have to say with Bird, look at what Jenkins has been able to do in Philadelphia.
Right.
He's now, all world.
Well, now to with the Jenkins, Jenkins has said in an interview that him being released kind of made him straighten up, and he's admitted that he had gotten
complacent
in New Orleans, wasn't watching the film he should, wasn't really putting up. He has said that. Malcolm Jenkins has said that, and that, you know, with being cut that it lit a fire under his ass, and I mean I'm not trying to contradict what you're saying, because it's happened so many times. You are correct. I mean, what? But we've changed the defensive backs coach several times.
Yeah.
You know? Again, this is my theory.
Well,
guys.
Sometimes too, inconsistency, that instability, you know, where you have so much change,
right,
so
right.
You can never establish anything because
right.
of constant change.
Now, I don't know what happened with Spagnuolo or Rob Ryan or Dennis Allen. But we all know that when Greg Williams was here, it was his defense to run, and Sean Payton, I mean, it was in Greg Williams' contract that Sean Payton could not fuck with his defense, interfere with his defense. You know, do y'all believe in some way Sean Payton is trying to put his touches on the defense and you know, is I don't know. I haven't read that. I'm throwing it out there.
I don't know, but again, like this, It's not limited to the defense, and I think that's what this whole CJ Spiller topic is saying, is that it's I think a combination of all these things we've been talking about. It's the loyalty to the wrong guys across the board in these assistant positions. And maybe it is a little bit of Sean Payton. Maybe he's micromanaging where he never did because he doesn't trust the guys, but he also can't fire them. You know what I mean?
Also, too, like because of what happened with Greg and Bounty, like maybe he just feels like, well, he can't do that anymore.
It could also be that he's lost that cutting edge, that fire.
Well, or just, I mean, he's scared.
Killer
like, what
instinct.
If, you know, like what if he lets somebody do something and something happens and it reflects on him?
Well, if that's the case, then sadly we're going to have to part ways. And if you've been neutered.
Well, he's definitely been neutered.
But again, to go along with the Malcolm Jenkins, who, oh, he's done and he's having a hell of a career in Philadelphia. And his buddy that left us, Sproles. You know, can you imagine we'd have kept Sproles, all the money we've wasted on fucking Spiller if we just
still
had Sproles?
I still don't understand what the hell happened with Sproles. That doesn't make any sense.
Nothing at all.
He started to decline a little bit, but...
Well, it sure looked like he hasn't declined much in Philadelphia.
Right. Coaching.
You know?
Oh, well, speaking of people leaving the Saints who underperform here and going in Excel, Wheels comes in with a tweet. Buffalo shout out gets Rob Ryan 6 more years of, quote, defensive genius status. They'll be shit, but he had that shout out that one time. How the fuck do they shut out the Patriots?
I mean, I know they were on. Did Garoppolo play, or did Brissett play?
I think it was Brissett. played. Yeah, okay. More than Garoppolo.
I'll tell you what, that was another weird thing about the game. You know, tailgating, I didn't really pay attention to the scores. By the time I walk in the stadium, like over half the all the noon games are over.
Right.
It's just weird to me.
Football started before you woke up for the day, didn't it?
Well, yeah, look, we ate breakfast in Ocean Beach at like probably 8. And yeah, and the Jaguars game was already in the third quarter. I was like, wow.
All right. Then Wheels also tweeted to us, Laurinaitis inactive for the first time in his career. Well done, medical team.
Well done.
I love how we're blaming Oshner now for everything.
Sure. I'll blame him. I ain't scared.
We got one from Hootat Chris saying, P.S. Best podcast ever. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you. On the week that I'm there in person to get our first win.
Yeah.
Good call.
Oh, and he did also ask, same guy asked, what would you give up for a good says online. I'm assuming he means O-line. For a good O-line defense. Me, one nut, one kidney, and three beers out of my 12-pack.
Now, I can't really say, I mean, you know, unless he's talking about the running game.
I thought the offensive line did all right.
I think they played well all season.
Considering.
Surprisingly, yeah.
Now, Streif did do a Streif thing in this game, didn't he? Or was that the Falcons game? Didn't Streif let up a sack?
Yeah, I know Breeze. I remember Breeze definitely got sacked. There was one play where they rushed a bunch of guys. I remember Breeze going down.
Yeah.
But also, again, Armstead was out again this week. And then Calamente was out too. So
right.
Hopefully with the bye week, I would assume that Armstead is going to be back for the Panthers game. I mean, he sat out now. This is going to be a couple of weeks he's missed, and he's going to get the bye week.
Well, and I read a report today. Delvin Bro is ahead of schedule. Could be back for Week 6.
Ooh, that's asking a lot. I
mean, you know,
stress fracture. That's asking a lot.
I'm just saying. They said he's ahead of schedule.
All right. Well, Rankin should be back soon too.
I mean, I'm at the point now where the game was won, and Zeno sent that dude dancing.
Oh yeah.
And then he also sent the Steve Austin. Oh hell yeah. And then Fuck the Falcons came in with, quote, Kansas City is really good. We can't beat them, quote, Damon. So apparently he thinks now we can beat Kansas City.
Well, that was after last night. Kansas City got destroyed.
He's still an idiot.
Hey, motherfuckers, we can beat Kansas City.
Well, I would say based on what Kansas City did. Was it last night?
Last night, oh, yeah, they got shellacked.
Or didn't do, I should say. Like, cover me in pick'ems. Yeah, we might could beat them.
Hey, look, we're gonna have a fun time on that trip. I really wish y'all to come. I mean, San Diego was a blast.
Well, now that I knew we won, I wish.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you can't think that way, man.
I know. Well, obviously, I don't have a time machine.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
All right, that's all we have for looking at tweets. Let's move into pick'ems.
Like the rest, your failure is my success. It's all about control. We make it. I will deliver the pain. You can't take it. I'm in control.
Are you sure you want to move into pick'ems?
Well, not me.
I know. I did terrible. Y'all had it better than me.
Not me.
So I won the week going 1-4.
Oh my God! So we went 0-4.
Both of y'all went 0-5.
0-5.
Yeah.
Both of y'all went 0-5. The only winner from us of the week was I took Pittsburgh, laying the 5.5.
But I'm gonna say that no one had a 4-1 record at all. Everybody was. Most people were 0-1 or twos. There was a couple of threes, but everybody had a bad week in pick'ems.
Everybody.
Well, so now of course, of course, I saw the game and I thought, why did I pick Cleveland?
I can't, like, this is the first
8.5, y'all, because it was 8.5 points.
Doesn't matter. It's Cleveland.
Yeah. Never again. Every time you beat Cleveland, don't even ask me. I'm going
to. You know what's funny? Give me the same thing 2 weeks ago.
I know, but I fucked up, and now I'm not going to do it.
You know what killed everybody? The Atlanta game and the Baltimore game. That's what killed everybody.
Yeah. I did not see that coming from Atlanta.
No. No, anything that gives them happiness pisses me off, so I'm upset. No. But don't worry, they're still gonna they will falter.
Well, Matt Ryan's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Oh no, they were talking on Monday Night Football about MVP.
Oh, already? Gosh, with 4 weeks into the fucking season.
Well, he won October's Player of the Month.
Oh, good for him.
September's Player of the Month.
September Player of the Month, right. And then October, he had the game against Carolina.
So what did he win? A year's supply of Charmin?
Oh,
you see what I did there?
I see what you did there.
You referenced that he shits his pants.
Yeah. All right. In the larger league, Jason, did you give us our three?
All right,
between the three of us ranking.
The three of us, you and Damon are tied at 8-12, and I am one game back at 7-13.
So we go 0-5, and we're still beating you. All right, is the lesson to be learned there. And in the bigger one in the order, we have a tie for first place between Near and Preston Allen with a 600 record. Ed Hunt 550, and then Emmanuel Wheels, Doug Neal, Jim Bull, Rance, Glenn Fitz, Damon, me, Alex Barbie, A-Rod, Zeno, Saints Fan UK, Mike, Jason, Hungry Hoodat, Hoodat Nutsack, Whore Islander, EJ, Dad to Twins, Life of Ty, and Triple D Stud Farm.
All right, well, let's move on from that debacle, and let's see if we can do any better this week. First game. The Texans at the Vikings. The Vikings are playing right now. Anybody know what the score is?
17-3.
Okay, have the game had it started yet?
It's the third quarter, 7 minutes left.
Okay. And the
Vikings
Texans
are legit.
Vikings.
No. They are definitely legit. The Texans coming off a 7-point win at home against the Titans. This game is in Minnesota. Minnesota's favored by 5.5.
I'll take the Vikings.
No, I will also take the Vikings.
I'm gonna stay with you guys on this one. I'm gonna go Vikings. Houston's no joke. I'm going with net point differential on this one.
Oh, getting back to that. All right.
Sounds like you guys are too.
I'm just going with what looks like the better team. All right. Next game, we got the Eagles at the Lions. The Eagles were actually on a bye this week. They did not play this week.
No, they beat Kansas City, didn't they?
No.
Pittsburgh. Wrong Philadelphia team.
Yeah. So Philadelphia's 3-0. They're coming off the bye. They're at Detroit, who Detroit somehow lost to the Bears this week. I don't know how the fuck that happened.
Because they're Detroit.
Bad. I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. So this game's in Detroit, and the Lions are getting 3 at home. I'll go first. I'll take the home dog. Give me Detroit.
All right, I'll go second, and I'm going to take Philadelphia because it's Detroit.
You both make compelling. You both make compelling points.
I should also add that Philadelphia has Malcolm Jenkins and Darren Sproles.
Yeah, I'm going to take Philadelphia also because it is Detroit. Philadelphia has been playing well, and my home dog didn't work last week against me.
All right, we got the Bengals at the Cowboys. Bengals coming off a Thursday night win against the Dolphins, even though Thursday night games are can always be a little iffy. At the Cowboys, who beat the 49ers 24-17 last week.
Not paying much.
This game is. Did you see the video of Jerry Jones getting hit with the helmet?
No, but no. I'm going to look for it.
Some fan chucked it. I guess he wanted him to sign it. Some fan in the stands chucked the helmet at him, and it just nailed him in the head. It was great.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah! Oh,
yeah! Oh, all right! No, my eyes aren't too far apart. And this game's a pick'em. A pick'em. Dez Bryant has a fractured kneecap. I believe he will be out this week.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
He's out for like 3 weeks, ain't he?
Probably so. I mean, fractured kneecap. Like, I don't care what Jerry Jones says. Like, he can't come back sooner than that. Just can't.
I don't know, man. I hate to go with Dallas, but they are home. I don't know.
What if I make it easier for y'all, I'm going Cincinnati.
All right, I'm going Dallas.
Okay. Cincinnati has the extra time to prepare after playing on Thursday.
What's the spread again?
Pick 'em.
Yeah, fuck, I go Cincinnati also.
All right, next game. The Giants at the Packers. Giants, of course, losing right now to the Vikings. Packers had a bye this week. So they're coming off the bye. This game's in Green Bay, and the Packers are favored by 7.
Oh, that's a lot to give up to the Giants. If not Cleveland.
Yeah. So you going with the Giants, Damon?
Yes, I'm going with the Giants. No, wait a second. But the Giants are getting their ass kicked in Minnesota.
Well, Minnesota's good now. Minnesota did beat Green Bay.
Yeah.
Green Bay's 2-1.
7 points is a lot. In Lambeau Field. The Giants aren't very good despite them beating us, because we're not very good yet either.
But they've got Odell and...
It doesn't matter.
Sterling Shepard and Eli.
And Orleans Darkwa.
And Victor Cruz.
And we got a good little receiving core there.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is a tough pick. I'll stick with the Giants. I'll take 7.
All right.
Jason?
I'm going Packers.
All right. I'm going Packers as well.
All right. And now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's
a... All right, a shitty game. Tennessee Titans at the Miami Dolphins. Both teams coming off losses last week. Tennessee losing to Houston at home, and the Dolphins just looking terrible against the Bengals last week on Thursday Night Football with those creamsicle color rush jerseys they were wearing. This game is in Miami, and somehow the Dolphins are favored over a team by 3.5 points.
Yeah, I'll go first. I'll take Miami.
I will go with Damon on this one. They're at home.
Yeah, you know what? The Dolphins suck. I'm going Tennessee.
Alrighty.
Tennessee's not much better, but Miami really stinks.
I mean, Tennessee's 1-3 also, like the Dolphins.
They are.
All right, that is all we have for Pick'ems. Remember, don't forget to tweet your picks, hashtag Pick'ems. Do it before the first game. And if I favorite it, it means I've captured it. If I haven't favorited it, it means that it has not been captured. So retweet me on Sunday if you haven't seen that favorite come through. Let's move into Saints preview.
Oh, it's going to be a good week this week.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, what am I thinking? We have a bye week. Actually, that's perfect because we've been recording for an hour. So let's just go straight ahead to final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Definitely a fun weekend. I know I've said it before, but if you have a chance to go to a road game, you know, please do. I know it's, look, if we'd have lost yesterday, I wouldn't be feeling as good. But, man, when you win a game on the road, it's so much fun. Just to be in a different atmosphere, to experience the game a different way. And just anytime you see a Saints fan or do anything, high five, whoever it is, there's this camaraderie when you're on the road because you know you're in the minority. And it's so much fun. Now I'm just, after this weekend, I'm so looking forward to Kansas City in a few weeks.
Yes. Stay tuned, folks, and let's see how we feel after that game. So.
Oh, one more final thought. Congrats to the USA on bringing back home the Ryder Cup. An incredible couple of days of golf, including fantastic match between Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy. Even though some assholes in the crowd were assholes.
Doing what? What were they doing?
They were yelling. Like,
doing asshole things.
Like, some dude yelled at Rory, eat a dick.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, like, come on, dude. Or, like, the people who shout fucking mashed potatoes are getting the hole. I hate that shit. They're fucking
what
assholes.
What does that mean, mashed potatoes are
getting... I don't know. It's a thing. I don't know where it started, but it's a thing.
I understand what getting the hole means. I mean.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Right. But yeah. It's just guys thinking they're funny, and they say something, and they think it's going to be funny. Kind of like me on a podcast. And it just comes out not funny at all. But anyway, congrats on the U.S. The Europe has kind of dominated this competition over the last decade or so.
So golf nice. Wanted the more fans, and that's what happens when you bring more people in, is you have that risk.
There were people having sex off the green on 17.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to putt with that going on. So, yeah, congrats on the U.S. for bringing back the Ryder Cup. A great, great 3 days of golf for those guys. So, America.
All right, Damon, final thought.
Well, I'll keep it within the Saints game. So nice to get our first win look, don't go buying your tickets to wherever the Super Bowl is being held this year. But, you know, you have to, you can't win two unless you win one first. So that's where we're at. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to next week, watching the games, not having to worry. You know, it's nice going into a bye week with a victory.
Yeah.
So at least we have kind of have 2 weeks to enjoy this sense of being a winning team instead of just one, and you can watch next week's game without any headaches or being pissed off and not even watching, turn them off and doing something else. And one more final, Netflix. A lot of good things came on Netflix this month. You had, at the end of last month, you had Gotham come on. That's why I enjoy watching on Netflix. And then you had the new season of Flash comes on tomorrow, starts tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
On Netflix. You know,
oh, okay. Not season three.
Right. So, okay. Right. So season two on Netflix. I'm talking about Netflix.
I remember watching The Flash when it came on, but it seems like the season went by so quickly.
I enjoy watching those type of shows on Netflix and binge watching them more so than
I do. Watch them quickly.
So I can watch them quickly so I can flash through them.
Right.
You know, more so than I do watching them live weekly. I don't know why. Just those shows appeal to me. They appeal to me more when you can watch them a lot back to back.
Have you binged all of Luke Cage yet?
I haven't binged all of Luke Cage. I'm through four or five episodes, okay. And it's very good. Very good. A lot darker. And they put Supergirl on Netflix, so I think I'm going to try to watch that. I don't know if y'all...
No, I haven't started to watch it yet.
But I see already, for a promotion for the new Supergirl season that starts, they've already put Superman in it, and some guy's playing Superman.
That sounds like they need to try and save the season.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right.
Plus, look, it moved from CBS to now it's on the CW with all the other DC, like the Flash, Arrow.
They might survive.
Oh, did it really? Okay, I didn't realize that. It moved from CBS.
And they cross over.
Yeah, that's a big thing for them. They're having this huge, big crossover event now. Because even the Flash had a crossover with Supergirl in season one, apparently.
Oh, did he? Okay. Yeah. I know they crossed over with Arrow. I didn't realize.
No, he showed up on her show over on CBS, I think.
So yeah. There's your superhero show.
Yeah, a lot of superhero shows.
Of the week.
And that is all of our show that we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadgam.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, West Coast time zone donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
It is you and me and the bottle makes three tonight.
That's right.
To and from his and my favorite watering hole. I said, hey, Mo, how you doing? How have you been? He says, I've been fine with my whiskey, wine, and gin. So, man, I know I gotta go. It's the same thing every time. But I don't think another drink's gonna make me lose my mind. So I think about my next drink. And it's you and me and the bottle makes three tonight. All right, brother, now blow the roof off. Then now's as good as any juice I drink. What's it gonna be? A gin and tonic sounds mighty, mighty good to me. So man, I know I gotta go. It's the same thing every time. And I don't think
the drink's gonna make me lose my mind. So I think about my next drink, and it's you and me, and the bottle makes three tonight. Well, it's you and me, and the bottle makes three tonight. It's you and me, and the bottle makes three tonight.
Hey, hey, bartender, I think I need another drink.
What do you mean it's last call? Yeah!